On today's episode of CrossFit Inside Out podcast, we sit down with Lauren Villar. Lauren Villar is a licensed counselor and social worker, and some of the things that we discuss today about being mindful and being present in the moment are so helpful when trying to manage stress. And we talk about how stress affects not only your workouts, but your goals. And so definitely pay close attention as you listen to today's podcast, and even go back and listen to it twice, because the practical tips that Lauren provides are so vast. Check out our website. We've included them in the show notes, and we are so thankful and grateful to have her on today's podcast. So we're here with Lauren Villar. I keep wanting to go back to Moser every single time, but Villar is your official last name, and that's exactly how you pronounce it, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, you can just say Lauren Moser Villar.
Lauren, fair enough. we'll just go with Lauren.
Lauren, yeah, that works.
Lauren has been a member here with us at CFIO for quite a time now. So it's been, what, about a year and a half now, or coming
actually,
up on 2 years?
Just about a year. So I just started last November.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So, because I remember when you see last year's Open, you were still, I guess, relatively new when the Open came around.
I still really didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, but you came in, you did that. You jumped on a team. I think you were on Matt's team.
Yes.
Kipanese, that's right.
Yes.
And you've been crushing it ever since. So I know you took a small break with your ankle and then came back. But we wanted to get Lauren in on a podcast because her career is actually very interesting. Explain to me a little bit about what you call your day job and your night job.
Yeah, so I am actually a therapist. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I work at Coastal Horizon Center full-time by day, and then at night, I run my own private practice, LMV Counseling. So I do counseling there as well.
That's awesome. And one of the main reasons we wanted to get you on for that is we were talking about stress management. And there are a lot of things that kind of go into that with stress during workouts, stress after workouts, and all of that. So obviously, this being a fitness facility, we wanted to talk about how stress outside the gym is going to impact your workouts inside the gym. And I know that's all encompassing, but tell me a little bit about that. How does stress outside the gym impact your workouts here?
I think the biggest thing is a lot of people, when they have stress outside of the gym, don't come to the gym. It falls down on their priority list. It's not as important. When you're stressed out and you've got things going on with family or your work, it's really easy to make excuses not to come into the gym.
Right. So when, because it's like January 5th right now.
Yeah.
I don't know when this will be published, but right now it's January 5th. Outside, it's super icy. We've had all the snow. I'm a really stressed out person, but I set all of these goals, right? So we're coming up on the brand new year. What would you recommend for me just practically, right? Just off the top of your head, like what are some practical things that I can do to kind of manage my stress on a day-to-day level with all this stuff going on? And I just said all these New Year's resolutions that I want to get healthy, I want to get fit, I want to lose weight, whatever it is, right? Practically, what is that? What do I do?
Practically, you have to make stress management a priority.
Okay.
So losing weight or fitness goals or family goals or career goals, those are all great, but you can't accomplish any of that if you don't manage your stress, if you don't take care of you. So a lot of people want to achieve all these other things without thinking about making time for themselves, without thinking about making time for a full night of sleep or proper nutrition or coming into the gym.
Yeah.
Or going for a walk on the beach or meditation or whatever it is that you're using to cope. That goes on the back burner while you're trying to accomplish these other goals.
How would you say CrossFit plays into that? I mean, would you consider CrossFit a stressor or a stress relief?
Both.
Really?
It depends. No. I for the most part, I mean, exercise, regardless of what it is, hands down, is the best stress management tool you can use. Best coping skill. We want to move. Our bodies want to move. We're rewarded with dopamine and endorphins and all that feel-good stuff.
Right.
So when we work out, that's excellent. Our bodies are going to love it. But CrossFit can be stressful because if you want to achieve certain goals and you're not meeting those, that can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. Or if you've got the Open coming up and you have to be here every Friday night and you've got other commitments, that can be stressful to manage in your life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's two sides of the same coin, sure. But that's okay. They can exist at once.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So say I'm a person who has, like, CrossFit is my stress relief, but at the same time I have these goals and I'm just getting frustrated because I feel like I'm stuck at a plateau or something like that and it's causing me stress. How do I get past that?
Plateau as in your performance with your workouts?
Let's just say my performance in my workouts. I'm not lifting the weights that I want to hit. I'm not seeing any results on the scale. I'm not seeing the results like I used to, if that makes sense. Like, you know, let's just say like I've been doing this for a while now and I'm not hitting the goals that I want to hit. How would you talk me off my ledge here? You know, I'm hitting my plateaus and I'm super stressed about it. What do I do?
Downsize.
Really?
Downsize and focus. Because a lot of times people will say, I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to lift a certain amount of weight. And they're not setting those small goals or they're setting too many goals at one time.
Wow, that's good.
So if you've got, I mean, what is a personal goal you're working on?
Me? Oh, gosh.
I know I put you on the spot.
Yeah, no. I would love to
have his beard like mine.
Right. it'll never happen. Let's see. So for me personally, I think every year I've written down in the past 5 years, like I want to add 20 pounds to all my major lifts. And some years I hit that and some years I get nowhere close. So let's just use that. I want to add 20 pounds to all of my lifts.
Okay. So how many lifts are in CrossFit?
Your major lifts?
I mean, your major lifts? I'm like, let's just take five. I'm back squat, front squat, clean, snatch, deadlift. Let's just take those five.
Okay. So your one goal just turned into five goals. So you now have, and that's just with lifts. That's not talking about any other movements or any gymnastics movements or any other things that you're talking about. I know you've mentioned flexibility before, but, you know, that's only with lifts.
Right.
So you say, I want to add 20 pounds, but you're not looking at all the other lifts that you have to do where you're adding 20 pounds. It's much more manageable if you say, I'm interested in adding 20 pounds to my deadlift. And only focusing on that.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's switch it up. Let's reverse it. So that's adding 20 pounds. So let's just say that my goal is I want to lose 30 pounds. What would you say is my, but I'm stressing out because I'm not seeing the scale move at all.
Well, if we're talking about weight, the most important thing, if we're going to be losing weight, is to manage your stress.
Okay.
When you're stressed out, you cannot lose weight. I think, I can't remember who was the doctor who was on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Jason,
he was talking about the cortisol levels and that sort of a thing. And that definitely interferes with your ability to lose weight. And so if you're not seeing any progress, I'd say focus on managing stress first. What are you doing to calm your system? What are you doing to promote that rest and digest, that relaxing, that stillness in your life? That's also going to help you lose weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think that's where the CrossFit is a stress reliever or stressor. That's why I hate it when people come to me and they're like, yeah, I want to lose weight. And they're like, and I'm like, okay, awesome. And they're telling me what they're doing. And they're like, I'm doing CrossFit in the morning. And then I'm going and I'm doing this at night. And it's like, you're stressing your body two times in that. And you don't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, maybe it would be in just whatever your form of stress relief would be. If that's quietness, stillness,
mm-hmm.
you know, hanging out with your wife, watching a movie. I mean, I don't know, but
and a lot of things that people don't consider is when you add on these goals, you have to take something away. You can't just say you want to lose weight and come to the gym and keep your family life and, you know, advance in your career.
Yeah.
Something has to come off the plate. So when you're adding a goal, you have to take something away. That may mean that your house is messier and you're not going to have time to clean all the dishes at night.
Hmm.
Or it may mean that you start to use the drive-thru at the grocery store, not the drive-thru, the pickup at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time to go in a grocery shop because you chose to go to a CrossFit class. Or you chose to spend an extra hour with your wife or your kid or whatever it is.
There's a book I had to read for school called Choosing to Cheat. Andy Stanley wrote it. It's a small little book. But he talks about whenever you decide to do something, you're cheating on something else. And so, like, let's just say work versus relationship with your spouse. You know, if you work more, you're quote-unquote cheating on your spouse, you know, or if you're spending more time with your spouse, you're quote unquote cheating on work projects or whatever it is, and learning how to find those balance and choosing to cheat the right way, quote unquote, you know, using a terrible analogy for that, but it makes sense when you think about it. You have to give something up in order to.
Well, and I don't really. I guess I would push back a little bit on that word cheat because it has a negative connotation.
Exactly, yeah.
We're not cheating. We're actively prioritizing our life. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, for right now, I am, you know, getting my business up and running. I'm working a full-time job. I'm married and I like spending time with my family and my friends. And so right now, getting into the gym every single day, it's not happening. Right now, my win is coming twice a week. That's it. And I have to be okay with that. I have to give myself permission that walking into the door is enough. That right now I may not progress on lifts and I may not hit a new skill or get, you know, faster or stronger, but I'm showing up.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But I'm choosing to also build my business and work full time and be a wife and be a daughter and do these other things as well. I know in my life in the future, that'll shift again. Life always changes and shifts. Yeah. And I'll get back to more exercising and focus on that even more because I always do.
Right.
I know for me, not last year in the Open, but the year before, I was probably the fittest that I'd ever been. But I had spent like a year and some change, like doing a specific program that someone was programming for me. And it was like at least 2 hours a day, maybe 4 to 5 days a week. And it was awesome. Like the Open was like, I could tell I had been working. And then right after that, I had the business mentor and I had him prior, but I said, you know what, I really need to focus on like the business aspect and really make this place great and work on it. And so I knew that my fitness in the sense was going to just not take a back seat, but in some ways the expectation of being as fit as I was at that point was just not going to be there. And the reward was so much greater. So it was kind of an easy choice. I think I'm wondering if sometimes though, you know, I look at it and go, obviously I own a gym. So I personally think fitness needs to be one of a big pillar for people, just like loving your wife or your husband or your spouse, whatever that is, should be, and raising your kids well. And so I think not completely just stopping one thing, but like you told me in class one day, I was like, hey, my goal is to get in here, and even if the dishes aren't washed every night, you know, like that makes a lot of sense. Like obviously you can't neglect completely, but one doesn't have to be, not all five goals have to be tens. Some can be threes and fours. You know.
Exactly. Well, and when you talk about exercise being a pillar, I absolutely agree with that. But it's one tool in your toolbox to cope with your stress.
Yeah.
There's other ways to do that as well. If you completely neglect exercise, you're not balancing your life. You're not using other coping skills that you've already learned.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it is about that balance and being aware and being very mindful of that balance. Exercise some days is going to be exactly what you need to manage your stress. It's the most effective. Some days you need to Netflix and chill. Some days you need to go for a walk on the beach. But it's
like,
about...
Like the real Netflix and chill?
Yeah. But the important thing is that you tune into your body and ask it, what do I need today to manage my stress?
Yeah.
A lot of times that true answer is, I need to move.
Right.
I need to do something. We're not meant to be sedentary. We feel bad when we do that.
Yeah.
Well, and on the opposite end of that, when exercise becomes your main focus and your only focus, and now all your everything around you is crumbling, right? And you're not in balance, then this is going to become the biggest stressor of your life because it's causing everything else to, you know, and again, as a coach, we see people all the time come in and they get so frustrated when they didn't PR or did poorly in a workout, and this mindset and attitude of just being so down on yourself, you know, when something doesn't go the way that you want it to in a class or in a workout. And we kind of have to combat that all the time to tell people like, hey, give yourself some grace, you know, because it can become one of the biggest stressors. It's just this self-deprecating thought of I'm not good enough. And that's kind of one of the things that we try really hard in our culture and creating the culture here to push away from that, you know, and tell people like, no, you are good enough and you're doing well and giving themselves grace or just being here, like you're saying, like set a goal for it, just walking in the door.
Or what do you think some of the bigger stresses are? That maybe that first, yeah. And then
The bigger stressors.
Like, is it finances? You know, that is it just like not dealing with stress? You know, because I live with this thing of like, and I truly believe this, like, in my world and kind of what I believe is, you know, to live in peace doesn't mean there's not chaos. You know, like, I think we're like, oh, yeah, when this isn't here, then I'm going to do really well in this area. But the reality is if it's not that, it's going to be something else. You know, if it's not, you know, this kid's sick, it's going to be you're sick or this, you know. When you have people coming in, what do you, like, if you could just look at them and scream at them and tell them, like, stop it. No, what do you see as, like, some of the bigger things that are real? Is it every person is different or?
So when you, by the time that you walk through my door, you're stressed out, you're burnt out, you don't want to be there, and you're usually hopeless. Hmm. So my goal is to sit with that, and when they leave, have some hope. Because everyone comes in with different stressors. For the most part, I would say a majority of it has to do with relational stressors. So they're stressed out about conflict that they've had with their friends or with their family or with their boss or supervisors, because we're social people.
Right.
We live within our relationships. We live within our relationships. If you just need an example of that, think of folks who are in solitary confinement in prisons. They don't do well. Because we need to be around people. So yeah. When we have problems with people, that oftentimes leads folks into counseling. But then we kind of start to dig in of what's really going on, and a lot of times it's they've put themselves on the back burner. They are neglecting their own emotional self-care, sometimes, and a lot of times physical self-care. Sometimes I work with folks on they're not taking a shower. And they need to work on taking a shower 3 times a week. I mean, of course, we're talking, you know, major depressive disorder, right. But that's very real. They've gotten to the place where they cannot take care of themselves. Or even for folks who have anxiety, I see anxiety a lot. And these folks are no longer putting themselves first by saying, you know what, I need to eat my dinner tonight. And kids, I need you to do something else. Well, just not eat dinner, focus on the kids, get them to bed, and then start cleaning up the house and not eat. Mm. Mm-hmm. Or for breakfast, you know, I got to get up and I got to go to work, but you don't take time to make breakfast, or you don't grab a granola bar and you just skip a meal. That's not healthy for you. Or when you're with a group of friends and they say, where do you want to go eat? And you say, I don't know. Where do you want to go eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go eat? All of this is not taking time to say, what do I want? And being courageous enough to say that out loud. We're just so concerned with putting other people's thoughts, feelings, and intentions before ours.
Yeah.
I think you just described like my life and that. and you and I were talking before we started recording. So just a quick softball question. Who needs to come and see you?
Everybody.
And because we were talking earlier, it's like people don't come to see you until it's too late.
Right.
You know, it's you don't admit that you need to go see somebody until you realize, like, man, I really need to go see somebody. So how do you get people early? Is there any way to get people early or
get people early? So that assumes that we're on a track that goes negatively or downhill, and I don't believe that. I think everybody should have a counselor. I think they should have a background cheerleader. You're not paying for a friend. That's not therapy. When you go in, it's about sifting through some of those processes that you have and turning it into a way of self-acceptance and self-compassion and kindness so you can move throughout your life to have peace and chaos.
Right. I was going to say, like, really everyone needs community, not downplaying your service as a professional service. You're providing the professional aspect in community, really, in some ways, right? I mean, I would think, like, most people, because they isolate, is where the real problem gets. Now, I can go talk to Joe over here, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be okay, and not give me real tools, and that's a problem. But I would say, like, maintenance, like, I would think there are things that I know I need to do, and one of them is making sure I'm in some type of community where that's seeing. So, you know, I have a guy I listen to, he's like, I go to a counselor every week. Like, legit, he goes there every week, and he just shares and listens. And But it's not like anything huge is happening in his life right then that he sees, but just through the aspect of being vulnerable and open and talking through it. So that was that what you would call like a maintenance, just like?
Yes and no. Therapy isn't something that should be open-ended. You know, for a lot of folks, you can go into therapy in and out throughout your life during transition periods, especially when it's really stressful. But therapy is goal-focused. So when you go in, for a lot of folks, maybe just talking about it is helpful. But a lot of what I do is hold up a mirror to people's lives and reflect back on them, perhaps self-defeating thoughts and behaviors that they're doing that aren't working for them.
Wow.
And that's where the therapy piece is more, I wouldn't say more important, but in conjunction with social relationships.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think our culture in the United States looks at, has a stigma against mental health and substance use disorders.
Right.
So that's not something that everyone's going to think of first. I think we're getting there. I think we're making progress. However, I even have friends that know what I do and will ask me to send them packets of skills to manage their anxiety and talk to me about their anxiety medications, and they still haven't seen a therapist.
Yeah.
So even with my own friends who are dealing with this,
right,
it's this push of, come on, you know that this is going to help you. This, you know this works, and they'll acknowledge that, and they won't go.
Yeah.
So I think having a culture of acceptance and having a culture of this community supports you in going into counseling and being the best person that you can be.
Yeah. I know a couple months ago I was going through just, like, my wife can always, she could see it on me, you know, just like I'll get like a glaze, be looking like I'm in another world. And I went and to Life CC with Tim, and they have a guy on staff, Jim, and he's just awesome counselor. That's kind of background too. And that was so good. But it was very goal-oriented. It wasn't like, hey, let's just hang out. Like, it was, there was a pain, and, like, I'm trying to fix it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was great. And just my background, we would do some of that, just not in the professional sense in a lot of those ways. But working through, like, the deeper issues. I mean, I was going for one thing, and it was like, oh, yeah, what's this? You know, it's like, oh, God, what is that? So there's so much, there is a lot of benefit to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we learn to manage our stress, whether it's destructive or productive.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're using alcohol and drugs, or you're using food to cope, or you're using sitting on your couch and watching Netflix for 10 hours to cope, not 1 hour, 10 hours. You know, these are all ways that we cope that are not necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
They're self-destructive. But you can be productive about your stress management, which is where exercise comes in, which is where counseling comes in, which is where meditation and journaling and thinking positively and setting boundaries with people in your life comes in. Those are all the productive things. That's what we want to move toward and move away from the self-destructive coping skills.
Yeah. When I, about 5 months into opening the gym, I was so tired coaching all the classes. I would lay on the couch and watch episode after episode of 24. Like, and like, it felt so good, but I felt so terrible. I felt like a loser, you know?
Yes.
And like, there's so many things I should have been doing, but I could not get off the couch. Mm-hmm. Like, and so that was a bad thing.
But how different would that have been if you gave yourself permission to be on that couch? To say, right now, I'm an extremely busy season of my life.
Yeah.
I've set a goal, I'm accomplishing it, and this is the way my body is reviving itself.
Yeah.
There's a different perspective on that. You may not have been on the couch for days. You may have been on the couch for a day.
Right. And if I would have someone that would hold me accountable to that, you know, I think that's where the lack was for me, is go, hey, this is okay to do this, you know, just not 3 years later, you know, or two. And it didn't happen that way. Thankfully, it didn't. But, you know, I think getting stuck in that and just being like, where alcohol maybe comes into an issue and stuff like that.
Well, it's like setting yourself like a budget almost, you know? Like, I don't feel bad for spending money on a shirt if I have a budget line item that says shirts, you know?
Yeah.
But if I don't have that, it's easy for me to go and spend $100 on shirts when I don't have that money. So going along those lines, just real quick, I know we talked about some practical things in the beginning, but when people come in and are stressed to the point of coming to see you, what is the very first thing that you tell them that they need?
That they need. Well, it depends on the individual.
Yeah.
It depends on the assessment. One thing that I stress and one thing that I teach a lot is mindfulness. Hmm. So mindfulness, have you ever heard of mindfulness?
I mean, like, it's a buzzword right now, but...
It's so buzzword right
now. But for those who don't know...
I love that it's a buzzword right now. Yeah. Time Magazine just had a magazine on mindfulness. But what mindfulness is it's basically the idea of living in an active, open state of being in the present moment.
Okay.
So the idea is that you are paying attention to what's going on right now without judging it as good or bad.
Sure.
You're not putting any labels on it. It just is what it is. And it creates an openness to new experience. So, for example, that's kind of the juju stuff definition.
Sure.
So, practical applications. So, have you ever done air squats and you've been thinking about your grocery list or what you have to do after the class?
All the time. I know, I literally live in the next moment. Like, my biggest fear in life is being late, right? So, like, I'm always 15 minutes early for something. Like I'm always anticipating the next thing. So you're explaining me to a T.
Yes. So that is autopilot. Okay. We go on autopilot all the time. Our thoughts and our mind and our bodies just go through the motions. Or, you get in your car and you drive home and you don't remember how you got there.
All the time. Yeah.
You got there, but you don't remember how.
Right. That's scary.
Yes. We want to get off of autopilot. Mindfulness gets you off of autopilot. How different would those air squats be if you were paying attention to the constriction of your quad muscles, the breath moving through your body, the weight in your heels?
Right.
You would be in that moment. You'd be consumed because there's so much information that's going on in the present moment that you don't have time to think about the future or the past. Mm. You're just paying attention to what it is right now. You're not going to judge the weight in your heels as bad. Your weight's just in your heels.
So how do we get there?
Practice. So if we're talking outside of CrossFit, and I want to talk about an application in CrossFit.
Sure.
So if we're talking about outside of CrossFit, you can do daily activities by using your five senses. So something that I like to do is just set an alarm on your phone each day to go off. And when that alarm goes off, you pay attention to what you're doing right then. And you notice all your senses. What are you seeing? What are you smelling? What are you tasting? What are you hearing? What are you touching? All of a sudden, you're going to be immersed in that present moment.
I'm trying it right now. Like,
yes. So even in this moment, if we're being mindful, I can feel the heels in my boots. I can feel the tightness a little bit on the back of my calves from my rain boots that I'm wearing. I can feel the wool on my forearms. I can feel my hair on my cheeks. I can feel that my fingers are cold. So calling attention to all of this in the moment. Right now, I don't taste anything. I have no food in my mouth, and I don't have a taste left over from lunch. That's mindfulness.
I can literally, like, as you're doing it, because I'm trying to think, and I'm trying not to think about what's next. But I can definitely see how that applies. So my side as a coach, right, is I'm trying to get every single person in that class to be mindful for an hour. Now, maybe I've never used that language, but that's my goal, right? My number one priority is safety. And if you're not being mindful about what you're doing, you're not being safe. Wow. I'm gonna end that right there, because I think there's so much we can go into on that. Man, that's a lot. What would you say? So, kind of coming to a close and putting a really pretty bow on this, because I know that we haven't even scratched the surface on what mindfulness and what being present and what stress management. I mean, I know there's so much more into that. For the people listening to this podcast, outside of being mindful and outside of just practicing that, from your profession and your perspective, what can they do to get a jump start on 2018 goals?
Yes, I think that's a great question. I mean, when we're talking about 2018 goals, I think it's important to identify your top five coping skills. Write them down, put them on your phone. Don't just think about them. Actually,
like good or bad coping skills, or like the ones
positive coping skills, okay, so productive coping skills.
Okay, so yeah. Not like drugs.
Okay. Yeah, not okay. Drugs.
Not drugs.
Sure, not super productive.
Right.
Not you know a bottle of wine either. Not super productive.
Fair enough. Okay.
But identifying your top five coping skills.
Okay.
Whether that's journaling, yoga, meditation, bubble bath, setting boundaries with people. Ridding yourself of a toxic relationship in your life if that needs to happen. But just identifying those top five, writing them down, so that way you have them when you get stressed out. I have an index card that I occasionally will carry with me, and I encourage my clients to carry their own with them in their wallets. And when they get stressed out, they can pull it out and they can use a coping skill. And it can be anything that works for you. It's going to be different for every person.
Sure.
And some of that may be mindfulness and being present. Like you said, we just scratched the surface of doing that. And I'd be happy to go on that more in depth later. And I can give you guys some resources on that,
too. That'd be great. Yeah, we'll put those in the show notes for sure.
Absolutely. But I think it's important to know what are those tools in your toolbox? Hmm. What are you using to cope? What's going to help you? And how to start using them?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I mean, again, the name of this gym is CrossFit Inside Out. So every time that we plan a workout or plan an event, we're constantly thinking of how to better our clients and ourselves from the inside out. And I think this is definitely your perspective on that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Man, this is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.